So tonight we're going to be in 1 Chronicles chapter number 16. We're going to read verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to skip down for a couple of verses to down to verse number 7. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. You know, it's always amazing what things can take place when you come together in the name of the Lord. You know, sometimes I think we come to church out of habit, and I'm not going to say that coming to church is a bad habit to have, because I have seen people and talked with people about when you get out of the habit of going to church, it's easy to miss more and more services. So having a habit of coming to church is not a bad thing, but at the same time, we shouldn't come to church just out of habit. It shouldn't be just that, well, it's Wednesday night and it's almost 7 o'clock, so I'm going to go to church, but to come seeking for God to give you something, seeking for God to show you something in His Word that can help you grow spiritually. And here, David says that they've come together in the name of the Lord. Verse number 3, and he dealt every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. Verse number 7, is where we're going to jump down to. It says, then on that day, David delivered first his psalm to thank the Lord in the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Verse number 8, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Now, this is a song that David is singing, and I want you to notice how he starts it with. It says, give thanks unto the Lord. Anytime that we need to stop for just a minute and reflect spiritually, if we will begin by giving thanks unto the Lord, I think it is one of the most important things that we can do in our Christian life is to give thanks unto the Lord. But look what he says, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. I believe that it is also very important for us to let others know what God has done in our life. You know, a lot of times God will do something really special for us, and maybe it's a little bitty thing. See, sometimes we think that we shouldn't share with other people. Yeah, maybe this might be a little pumping, a little priming for next week too, but here we go. So sometimes we think that we shouldn't share with other people because we think that what God did was such a little thing, or they won't find anything special about that, or they won't think that, you know, it doesn't matter. When God does something for you, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about it. There's been things that He done in my life that maybe you didn't think was such a great thing, or maybe didn't affect you so much, but it was something that at that point in time in my life was huge in my life. I've shared with you before the night that Silas was running a fever. I was a young dad. I didn't know what in the world to do. I think I even told y'all that I give him something that I shouldn't have given him that night, but Autumn told me not to never tell that again, so I won't. But we were trying to give him some stuff to get his fever down, and nothing was working, and that's when Autumn woke me up. And see, being a young dad and not really even understanding, I don't know how we made it, just to be honest with you. But Autumn come to me, and she said, need you to know something. If his fever don't come down, we've got to go to the emergency room. And I was like, do what? I said, it's just a fever. She said, no, we got to go to the hospital if his fever don't come down. So I got up, and that's when I went in, and I began to pray and ask God. I said, God, if it be pleasing to you whatsoever, please let his fever break. Please just let whatever, God, you need to do. And I mean, immediately I felt the sweat beads pop out on him when that fever started to come down, and he was just pouring sweat. Man, and I knew that God had heard and answered my prayer. Now, I have told some people that, and they said, well, that's just because the medicine kicked in. You know what? I know that God give people the ability to create medicines, but you know what? That medicine still ain't gonna work whatsoever if God don't put his hand on it and if God don't allow it to work. So I know that God was in the middle of that. Now, we went to church the next Wednesday night, and we went into the prayer room. We had a prayer room that we went and for about 30 minutes before service, and we would share prayer requests and things. And I remember that night that there were several different things that I asked the men in the prayer room to pray about. I needed this, and I needed God to touch in this, and there was a situation I needed God to touch in. Well, you know what? I walked out of that prayer room without one time thanking God for what he'd done for Silas or letting everybody else know what God had done for Silas. Well, the Bible tells us that not only are we to sing psalms and give thanks unto the Lord, but we should also make known his deeds among the people. So sometimes I think it is very important for us when God does something in us to let others know what God did for us. First and foremost, that he gave you salvation. I think that is something that we should share every chance that we get. Hey, if you will start sharing about the day that Jesus Christ saved you, if you will start just telling a few people, it will get easier and easier and easier every time that you do it. I've met some new Christians, and I think it's kind of funny in one way, and then I know the struggle too. I've had some of them come up to me and say, well, you know, that day that God saved me or whatever. And I'm like, no, it's not whatever. Stay strong. God saved you. You know, and it's just the day and time that we live in. They feel a little out of place saying that God saved me. But I want to tell you something, that is something so special, and there's other things that God can do in our lives that we need to do just like what it says here in verse number 8. Make known his deeds among the people. Let other people know what God done. Because I'm going to tell you something. He may do something in a situation in your life that I find myself in the same situation, and I can go back and pull encouragement. I can pull strength out of knowing, you know what? God was with them in the middle of that. God helped them through that. God can help me through that also. Let's continue reading. Verse number 9, it says, sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Man, we need to be telling what God has done. I like the way that it said that there in the end of verse 9. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Because if you notice in verse number 9, it said, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Well, some of us are not really blessed with that great singing voice. So then at the end of it, he says, talk ye. If you can't sing, talk. Tell somebody. Tell of his wondrous works. Has God ever done anything good for you? Amen. Amen. Tell somebody. Has God ever done anything good for you and you failed to tell it? Absolutely, I sure have. There have been times that God answered a prayer just exactly like I asked for him to answer it. And honestly, most of the time, I will stop and say, God, thank you for doing that. But how many times do I fail to tell somebody else what God did, how he gave me strength, how he got me through that situation? Look, verse number 10. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. I think one thing, when we begin to tell of God's wonderful works in our life, when we begin to share it with other people and tell other people what God has done, it will cause us to seek him more. For one thing, we'll want to make sure that our walk is matching our talk, and we're putting ourselves out there on a public display. When we start saying, guess what God did for me? Guess what God done? Guess what God done? We're then saying, now look at me, because I'm a God follower. I believe in what God can do, so you watch me, so I'm going to seek God's face, seek the Lord in his strength, because it's only in his strength that we can walk the way that we're supposed to walk and live the way that we're supposed to live. Seek his face continually. Spend time with him. I tell you, there's times that it feels like, I know you guys are not there ever, but there have been times in my life that coming to church 3 times a week and at that point in time, I was actually playing gospel music with a group on Saturday night. So there was weeks that I was in church 4 times during the week. And there were times, even in the middle of that I felt like I was away from God. That I felt like that I wasn't where I was supposed to be with God. And you want to know why? Because I was doing all of these right things, except for I wasn't seeking his face. I wasn't spending alone time with him. I wasn't getting my Bible and going somewhere and say, God, speak to me in your word. Hey, every now and again, I'm sure some of you do this. Sometimes it's hard to figure out where you want to read in the Bible, ain't it? So there's been times I've just stuck my finger in and started reading. But you know when I get my best reading is when I get down and I say, God, show me what you want me to read today. God, I'm kind of studying this passage right now. I'm studying on this thought. God, just show me something that's going to help me throughout the day today. And when you begin to seek the Lord and you begin to seek his face, you will draw more of the strength that is talking about here in verse number 11. Verse number 12, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. So in verse number 12, it says, first of all, to remember his marvelous works. God has done some amazing works in our life. Again, if you can't think of anything else, salvation. But then if you really want to think about your life, look at your loved ones to the left or the right. Aren't you glad that God put them in your life? Amen, I am. When I think about my 3 children, I'm glad that God put them in my life. Man, there's some wonderful works that God's done in my life. I'm thankful to be part of Fellowship Baptist Church tonight. I'm glad to be here with you guys, that I had the health and the strength to get here. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, listen to this, and the judgments of his mouth. Now, when I read that, I think of his promises. I am thankful for God's promises. I'm thankful to know that this Bible right here that we're reading tonight is full of promises that God has given every one of us. And I can assure you of this on the authority of God's words, that if God said it, he will get through with it. He'll come through with it. You can count on his promises. Now, I might tell you something, and you might come to me and ask me two or three times before I ever get to it. I'm a little guilty. I try to tell people at work that I'm not a procrastinator, but I just readjust what's most important a lot in my life. That's what I do. But God has never failed on any of his promises, and we're holding a whole book full of promises right here. Some of my favorite is the promises of those eternal promises. The promises of he's going to prepare a place for us, and if he goes and prepares a place for us, he will come again, receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. To know that one day there's going to be no more sickness, there's going to be never another time that we sit in a congregation and somebody requests prayer for their parent that has cancer, or for a loved one that's going through dementia, or for a family who lost a loved one. There's going to be a day when all of that is gone, and that's a promise that you can count on out of God's word for the people who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We need to thank him and praise him for that and be able to tell others. Now look, verse number 13, O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant. Listen, he's going to start reminding them of some of the promises that God's given them. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when you were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. He's reminding them of those promises that God made and how that God fulfilled those promises. Verse number 20, and when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Again, I know that this is not talking about necessarily a salvation as we experience salvation, but that is one thing that we can definitely sing unto the Lord for, as it says in verse number 23. Verse number 24, declare his glory among the heathen. Okay, I want to stop right here for just a moment. Verse number 24 says, declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. How long has it been since you told about the glory of God to somebody that's an unbeliever? That's somebody that's not following Christ. Does anybody else have trouble with that? I do sometimes. Now, to stand up here and preach on Sunday morning when I know that I've got a church full of Christians praying for me and supporting me, and you know, and maybe there's one or two lost people in the congregation, or maybe more, only God knows their hearts and our hearts. That's easy, but I'm talking about one-on-one to declare the glory of God to somebody that's an unbeliever. That's tough. And even tougher if you find someone that, as the Bible says here, a heathen, as someone that is an unbeliever, it's not even somebody that's even open to the conversation. Don't even believe in God. Now, I don't quite understand how someone cannot believe in God, but there are people who say they don't. But it is so hard, and you know what? That's when we specifically, and that we especially need to brag on the glory of God in our lives. Because God has done things for us that's unexplainable, that there's, a lot of people want to look at things scientifically. I cannot scientifically explain to you why I'm on my way to heaven tonight. I cannot tell you. Look, this is something that we heard when we was little bitty. How that Jesus took his red blood, washed my black heart, and it become white as snow. I cannot scientifically explain that to you. But I can tell you about the glory of God, how that God loved me so much. That even though I'm a sinner, and even though I still fall and come short, that he loved me so much that he allowed his son Jesus Christ to come give his life on a cross. Now, I don't know why. I can't explain to you why. I just know that that's what God's word says and that I believe it. And I can tell you that I experienced it for myself. And there's no way in the world that anybody will ever talk me out of that. I don't care what kind of scientific proof they could ever come up with. I don't care what kind of, they could try to disprove this Bible. I think it's funny, every time they try to disprove the Bible, they end up proving it more and more is what they actually end up doing. I think one day they'll probably quit because they're going to prove it true. But I don't care how much they try to disprove this word right here. They can come up with all the evidence they want to. By faith, I understand and I know that Jesus Christ forgave me of my sins. And when I stand before him, even though I'm still a sinner, he's going to see me washed in his red blood, white as snow. And I need to declare that. Look, for verse number 4, declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. It's definitely hard to go out and to tell others about the glory of God, especially the unbelievers. Verse number 25, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Now, do you think that we really praise the Lord greatly? Now, I know sometimes my heart gets so full that it bubbles out. You know, I've told you before that you might see me laughing and crying all at the same time. That's just sort of the way that I react when the Spirit hits me just right. But to say that I have greatly praised God, you say, well, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I just left Pilot Mountain Middle School just a few minutes ago. Both of my girls played basketball this afternoon, and I seen some people greatly cheering on their kids. I would have been, but both of mine missed layups tonight, so I wasn't real happy with them. I didn't say anything negative. Believe it or not, the only thing I said when I got in the truck is, girls, we're going to do layup drills after church. That's all I said. We're not really, but that's what I told them. But there was some parents there that was very emotional about what was going on that basketball court. And I guess on the inside, I was emotional because I told one of the guys in front of me, I said, tonight I'm either going to preach really hard when I go to church, I said, because of this anxiety that I've got going on right now, or I'm going to talk about basketball. And it looks like I talked about basketball. But so these parents were out there and they were very, very emotional about this. And you know what? There were coaches over there that were very, very emotional coaching their girls and boys. There were some boys playing too. And you know, everybody is fine with that on that spectrum and on that floor. And it was a great scene to see. But what I want to ask us is, why are we not that emotional about greatly praising the Lord? Now, look, I'm not saying come in here and we should be jumping pews and don't act like you do at the ball game in here. Please, don't do it. But I do believe that sometimes that we really hold back when it comes to greatly praising the Lord. We sometimes get to where he did something for us. Have you ever seen kids on Christmas morning? I've seen kids on Christmas morning that had a stack of presents that was this big. Now, when I was little, we didn't get a stack of presents that big. At that point in time, I probably would have wanted more, but looking back, I think my dad had it nailed down pretty good. We usually got some clothes that we needed. We usually got some candy and then a big present of some kind. And by a big present, I mean a bicycle or a shotgun or something like that. And that was Christmas at our house. But now you see kids, and they got this great big stack of presents. And they open this present, and they see it, and they throw it. And they open this present, and they see it, and they throw it. What's next? What's next? And you know what? Sometimes that's the way we do God. He gives us something, and man, oh, it's great. What's next? And we forget to greatly praise him over what he's already did, what he's already done in our lives. We forget to tell others about what he's already done in our lives. I know I can remember probably about Silas's third Christmas. We got me and Autumn, I don't know what in the world we was thinking. I go back and look at the pictures. I'm like, what in the world? It was our first kid. We didn't have no money, but everything that we got, I think we spent it on that Christmas. As I go back and look at the pictures, we wanted him to have a big Christmas. And I'm pretty sure that there were several things that if we would have wanted to, we could have went back and gave him the next Christmas because they was never taken out of the box. Well, you know what? There's some things that God has given us, and we've never even taken them out of the box. We've never got in there and said, you know what? God gave this to me. Right here's one of them. Right here's a gift that God's given us that we don't get into nowhere near enough. There's stuff in here we've never opened. And then there's stuff in here that we read. We read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Next. And we don't stop and greatly praise him for something as I was going to say as simple, but as wonderful as salvation. Let's continue reading. I may bring it back up at Christmas, by the way. Verse number 27. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Now, how much glory would you have to give God to give him what's due his name? All of it. Continually. All the time. We sing about the wonderful name of Jesus, the choir does. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Fear before him all the earth. All the world shall also be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let men say among the nation, the Lord reigneth. Declare him as king of your life. Declare him as king of all life, as far as that goes. Verse number 32, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out in the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. Verse number 34, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. If you go back and study this scripture just a little bit throughout the week, maybe it'll give you something to kind of study to. But you can go here in 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, and you know when we started out, it was talking about a Psalm of David. You can go here and pull scripture out in several different places and go right over to Psalms and find them written right in the middle. Listen to this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And you say, you save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen. Amen. And praise the Lord. I think especially something to reflect on this time of year going into Thanksgiving is to think about how much praise God is really worth and what he's worthy of, and how much am I really giving him. How much thanks do I really offer unto him? How much praise and honor and glory? Now, I know we can say it with our mouth. And listen, I'm not talking about necessarily right here in the sanctuary. Your praise may come in your Ford, your Chevrolet, your Dodge, whatever you drive. Your praise may come while you're at home reading your Bible. Your praise may come while you're in a tree stand somewhere or another. Your praise may come while you're having devotion with your family. There's all kinds of places that we can give God praise. What I'm just asking us is, are we really greatly praising the Lord? Are we making his works known? And are we especially sharing it with unbelievers? Because if there's anything that's going to turn them, if there's anything that's going to show them a better way, a different way, look, I'm not talking about a different way. I'm talking about Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But if there's anything that's going to show them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, it's going to be more than likely by some Christian along the way that shares the wonderful works that God's done in their life. You think about when you're lost. Think about when you were lost. What made you start thinking that maybe there was something better than what you were doing? I'd say in a lot of cases, it was somebody that you knew personally that began to tell you about Jesus. It wasn't that you walked into a church and that a preacher preached. It wasn't that you turned on the radio and you heard a gospel song. But more than likely, it was somebody that you knew personally that began to tell you about the wonderful work that God done in their life. And that planted a little seed, and then somebody watered it, and God gave increase, and look where you are today. Church, let's greatly praise the Lord. Let's share His works, one with another, and then also out here in a lost world. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for all that You do. God, I know that everything that I have taught tonight, God, that I stand in need of in my life, that I need to greatly praise You, that I need to lift Your name up among Christian brothers and sisters. God, there's times that You do things for me, and I fail to even praise You among people who are like-minded. But God, I pray that You'll help me to have the strength and the courage to do that, but also to a lost and a dying world, that they may see how good and a great God that we serve, that even in the bad times that You're worthy of our praise, and God, that the way that You've come through us for us in the good times, that we absolutely need to praise You and lift Your name up and let others know of Your wonderful works. God, I pray that You'll continue to bless us here at Fellowship. God, I pray that You'll just take care of the prayer request that was made known tonight, the special ones, the spoken and the unspoken. And God, I pray that especially during this time of year when we're looking at Thanksgiving and Christmas and the different things, God, that will not take our eyes off of You, that will not get caught up in everything going on around us, but God will really realize what these seasons are all about. We thank You and we praise You, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.